Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Let me get Sherry live here. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How about yourself?
Excellent. It's already been an interestingly busy morning.
But you've had your busy morning seeing through the eyes of love?
Exactly. It makes all the difference.
It does, doesn't it?
So shall I start us off with our quote for the morning?
Yes, please.
We all say, this is how I am. This is me, for better or for worse. Here the mystics reply, this is not you. All these quirks are extraneous. In the language of Sufi mysticism, these are the veils hiding the face of the beloved. We have mistaken the veils for the face, the layers of conditioning for our real self. Our whole job in life is to remove these veils, to overcome all the compulsive aspects of our surface personality.
Wow. All right. Would you do that one again?
Mm-hmm. We all say, this is how I am. This is me, for better or for worse. Here the mystics reply, this is not you. All these quirks are extraneous. In the language of Sufi mysticism, these are the veils hiding the face of the beloved. We have mistaken the veils for the face, the layers of conditioning for our real self. Our whole job in life is to remove these veils, to overcome all the compulsive aspects of our surface personality.
Our work is cut out for us, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, and when looking at it in the light of what we've been doing these calls for, that when that comes up, that I remember a Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh quote that the boundary between this is who I am and this is who I'm not is what creates separatism.
Uh-huh.
And therefore the absence of love, right? Any position that we take about who we are separates us by definition from those who we are not and mm-hmm. feeds separation, not love.
Mm-hmm. Because we can't maintain that position in love. In love, that position does not exist. There is no, I am this, I am not, you are different, I don't like you.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that impersonal sense of all of those are veils. So let's not mm-hmm. identify. It's a case of mistaken identity.
Yes. Yeah, and I love that the surface personality. Was that the way it was? The
hmm?
Surface
yes.
personality. Yeah. It makes it so clear that what we believe we are is just on the surface of what is so. So it's kind of, it's the wave claiming to be the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Not even that. It's probably more like the seagull on the wave claiming to be the ocean. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring our first caller live.
All right. Thank
first
you.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller? Huh. Hi,
this is Lori.
Oh! There you are. Who is this?
Oh, this is Lori calling from Asheville.
Lori. All right. Hey, Lori.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad to talk with you both. I just love that quote. And I have a question about, is there a way to access these recordings
yes.
online?
Yes, I just did it yesterday. It is love.livingcompassion.org. Is that correct, Ashwini?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Love.livingcompassion.org.
Ah, hallelujah. Thank you so much. This has been the whole experience of listening each day and connecting with Sangha and connecting with you all has been an incredible, incredible support to me. And I just noticed that it's like this is keeping me in practice so beautifully and so strongly. And then today, this is so funny, I was listening to the I Choose Unconditional Love. This is sort of funny, but conditioning would come in and go, just comment. You know, the place then when I say I choose unconditional love, then there would be this yammering to get my attention about something wrong with choosing unconditional love. It was really wild. And so I just was like, see, that's how it works. That's what happens. I'm choosing unconditional love. I'm listening to it. I'm practicing it. And conditioning wants to have a better idea about that's something wrong with that.
Yes.
So it just got me to be stronger and say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to choose unconditional love, even in the face of whatever might be coming at me.
Yes. And it's wonderful, isn't it, when we see it so clearly?
So
because what could be the problem with choosing unconditional love? And we get it that, oh, this isn't about there's a problem with something. This is about that system has to have attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our experience. And we all experience it every day, that when our attention is not on that system, it does not exist, which is why it's clamoring so to get attention. And as soon as we turn attention to it, then it seems to be real. So there's this problem that I have, and I get caught up in unconditional love, say, and that problem doesn't exist. Now, of course, conditioning is over there saying, yes, it does, yes, it does, of course it does. You're just not facing it. But the reality is it doesn't exist. And then it's, you got to think about this. You got. What about that? What about that? There's that problem. You've got to address that problem. And, of course, my attention goes to that. And then there it is. It's real.
And of course, I'm noticing the whole thing about, you know, where is the attention? And when I'm choosing something, that's where do I want to place my attention? And the way you're describing it is just how it works, that, well, what about this problem? You know, you can't always choose unconditional love. It's so wild. Until the practice is only going to include that. That's going to be, well, in spite of whatever else is going on, the place and the orientation and the attention is on unconditional love, period.
Yes, yes, because in this magical, mystical way, when attention is on conditioned mind, it's the veil, right? We cannot get to the light. We just can't. It's there. It's there between us and the divine. We come back to I choose unconditional love, and we are completely available to life, to the divine, in having our attention here on what is so. Mm-hmm. And so that problem that is so pressing for ego can actually be solved in the present. It'll never be solved in conditioning because conditioning simply wants attention on itself. And the fastest way to get that is there's something wrong, there's a problem, I'm suffering, this is terrible. All of those kinds of things we're trained to give attention to. We come back here to the present, I choose unconditional love, and life offers the solution to whatever is going on in our lives.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much.
It is so beautiful. It's so perfect, so simple, so straightforward, as soon as we see it. And when we see it, it makes total sense, and it fits absolutely with our experience. And then we begin to practice with it, and it really gets clear.
So I just love it. I want to tell this dream I had a few weeks ago. And I was actually at the monastery, and I was dreaming that I was at the monastery, that the bell rang, and I needed to get to the next thing for in the next 15 minutes, and I'm climbing up this steep, steep, rocky hill. And it was just hard to get purchased, and I couldn't. And then I hear these people singing, Make America Great Again, and I'm like crestfallen. I thought, oh, my gosh, here I am struggling, and what I get is these people who are supporting somebody that I don't support. And then I keep climbing, and this man comes up to me and says, how can I help you? And here, let me put you to wear so you could keep climbing. And it was like this. It's such a wonderful thing that says, where is love? Well, it's in the surprising places, and can I just say yes? And that was my experience. Wow. That was completely my experience, and then I walked on.
And you know, Lori, if we all live that dream, that will be our experience.
Yes.
So all this stuff is going on, all this ego stuff is going on, all this conditioned stuff is going on, and if we just keep going, looking for love, it'll be there. It'll support us. It'll make all the difference.
We just have
to keep climbing. And as the child of the 60s, keep the faith.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you both, Lori,
for doing this. It's just such an incredible gift to certainly to me, but to all of us, I project. So thank you and thank you.
Good. Good. You are so welcome. It is truly a pleasure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lori. You know, Sherry, that thing you said about how there is no problem with anything. What we have to realize is that the system just wants attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that all of the problems that it creates for us don't exist in this moment.
Yes.
That's the amazing thing. We have to leave the present to go off with it into the land of veils. In order to believe, to make that problem real and make it seem like it's current, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. And when we're actually here in the present, we don't have problems because what arises with that is everything necessary to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So problems in and of themselves, that is an imaginary thing that only exists outside the moment we're in.
Yeah.
It's mystical.
Yes.
It's a mystery.
I think that's a mystery. We have to drop into the wonder of the inherent process of life, intelligence knowing itself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That even the veil and the beloved is a separation, and we mm-hmm. what you often point out is that the removal of the veil is the removal of the veil is the process of life encountering itself.
Yes.
Even that which is doing that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The fundamental koan of Zen. Right,
yes.
Is the one that is designed to take us to the realization that I is an illusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get too far out there, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, here's our next caller.
All right, thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita.
Hello, Rita.
Hi.
What's going on here today?
This is a great conversation already. I'm already lit up from everything. I really appreciate these morning calls, and it's really generous of both of you to offer them for such a long time. And what I was seeing yesterday, I was extremely tired, and I was completely identified and aware of it. And I heard someone say that no matter what happens to us, whether if we don't get what we want, we're miserable. And if we do get what we want, we're miserable. And for some reason, it just hit me like, oh, my God.
That is my life experience.
Yeah, what a waste of time. It's like, oh, my gosh. And just to choose not to be, to choose to be in joy as a child, you know, not behave like a child, but be as a child of that joy and love that we come in here with. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I mean, it just opened me up. And I just got it. It's like, no matter what, we're miserable. That's no waste of time. We could be something else.
Yes, and you know, Rita, that I always go to a place with that of, so there, I'll say I rather than you because this kind of thing usually freaks people out. But a person X dies.
Okay.
And person X has been living in exactly that way, trying to get what I want and not getting it and being a victim and being disappointed and hating people and what's the matter with people and I don't like this. And then dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have a sense, that kind of image, that person would trade just about anything, anything, to be able to be alive again and actually live.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that, it's over. It's over. Okay? We're not going anywhere else. It's over. Mm-hmm. And you missed it. You missed the wonder and joy and majesty of life with this little miserable conversation about how unhappy I am.
No matter what happens.
That's right. Like, no matter what happens. And again,
finding the problem everywhere, you know?
Yes, yes. And getting that makes all the difference, doesn't it? Because if that process is never going to deliver what I want, well, I don't want to do it.
Exactly. There's another choice.
I want to go back to that childlike, innocent, wondering, delighted, grateful, excited, exuberant place that I lived in when I was 4.
And what you've always said, the way to get there is to be here. The way to get there is to be here.
Yes. Yep.
So I'm getting that. And I also wanted to tell you, when we first talked a year plus a month ago, you gave me some guidance and said, you know, and I'm not guaranteeing it, but this might change your relationship with your daughter. And I am leaving this week to go see my daughter. She's across the country. She's asked me to come. She's wanted me to come a week ago, and I had to do a couple things, but it's really good, and I'm really happy about it.
Good. Now, you know what to do, right? You know that those veils are going to try to wrap you up like a shroud, and the same with your daughter, right? Because this is just primo for suffering, right? And so be with us on these calls. And stay with practice, do your recording and listening, to have time by yourself. All of those things that keep you in this place that you've realized you can live.
Yes, okay. I'm reading today. Mm-hmm. I started reading I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It. I'm reading it again, actually, and it's a whole new book.
Right. I know what you mean. Probably would be for me if I read it at this point. Yeah. Well, have a wonderful time. And
thank you, and I'll stay connected.
Enjoy. Yeah.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rita. Okay, here's our next caller.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hello,
I've already done answered this, so I'll So I'll let somebody else, but just to say that I'm also real grateful for these calls. It's been really helpful.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. And thank you for being so gracious about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very generous.
All right.
Thanks, Laura.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Ashwini, may I say something before you bring the next caller on?
Yes.
Okay. So when Rita was thanking us for this, and it's true. Any commitment that we have is a commitment that we have. Don't you love the brilliance of that? And
very
of
zen,
course,
sure.
very zen. Thank you. And the thing about it is, what the gift of this, and why we encourage everyone toward these kinds of gifts, is that you and I, wherever we are in the world and in our lives, are required to show up Monday through Friday at this time to do this. Now, and we have a lot of other commitments too, right? But this one was added on, and the beauty of that is that we have to show up. So we have to prepare for it, which means, you know, we're reading and looking and finding the quotes that we want to use and talking about the importance of that perspective and why we want to offer that to people, what we would like to see come out of that in terms of awareness that people have. And so it's a huge support for our practice. And that's why we do it. I would say, I don't know about you, but I don't do it because I'm a particularly generous person. I do it because I want to be practicing consciously as many hours of the day as I can, and I know the best way to do that is to set it up so that there are things that I have to show up for. Because if I don't, then it's what I just said to Rita, you know, make sure that you basically surround yourself so completely with reminders to stay here that yammy that Lori started us off pointing out so clearly, it can't get through. It can't pull you away. And so just wanting to comment on that. So with the hope that will be something that everybody chooses, to be here for this and to find as many other things to do with throughout every day that require being here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the larger metaphor for what the challenge you asked us to look at that conditioning wouldn't let us do, which is to play I Choose Unconditional Love and listen to that every single moment. Because what you're pointing at is, this is a choice for life. This is a choice for attention to be on awareness, to choose and see beyond that which, beyond those veils. And so every time we show up for a choice that brings us to this calibration of alignment to life, we are choosing unconditional love because we're not choosing it. No matter how we feel, however much the resistance is, the choice ends up being to be aligned with the intelligence that animates.
Yes. So I may not, I don't know about you, but I'm not enough of a multitasker to be able to be on this call doing this and saying I choose unconditional love. But as you point out, doing this is choosing unconditional love.
Yes, because it means that we're not choosing something else, not choosing to listen to a voice and conditioned mind.
Yes, so being here, this here now, with this, here, now, is choosing unconditional love, because unconditional love is just another way of saying present.
Yeah, and not in conditioned mind.
Yeah, right. Not in conditioned mind. Everything other than conditioned mind. There are lots of words for it, but they all mean the same thing, don't they?
Yeah. Well, and it's lovely play on words. Not in conditioned mind equals the unconditional. It's a function, right? Not conditioned equals unconditional.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Good. Thank you.
We have time for another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hello, hey, Anna.
Hi. Wow.
Here we
so
are.
Excited to be on. I am. I'm just listening along, and then you're unmuted. So, you know, I guess one of the things I've been watching as I've been on the call today, and I think this has come up, it has, you know, come up a number of times, and I think it's related to the quote too, is what conditioning says kind of is, oh yeah, sure, unconditional love, and somehow that gets labeled as consent for like what's going on. Like there's a definition of like what love looks like so for example, I was just with my family, and you know, there are some things that that like we disagree about, and and some things that, you know, seem, you know, whatever, within the system seem very, very important to make clear that I do not consent to that. Like that's not I'm not on board with that. And so what ego labels as love is me just either not saying anything or, you know, more like silence or complicity.
You don't make waves.
Yeah.
Love means never making waves.
Love means never waking waves. And so there's a pretending to love, and underneath that is like a simmering of anger and frustration, which isn't helpful for anyone. And yet the other alternative that's presented to me is to just like yell and scream and make a big, you know, thing about it, which isn't how I want to be either. And so so I've been, you know, I've been watching that, and I know there's an alternative. And I've been practicing with being that alternative, with just, you know, the email class has been helpful, just, you know, listening and, you know, drawing out and, you know, that kind of thing. And I've been practicing with that. And it seems like that's the direction I want to move in those places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really challenging because of those pulls in those other two directions.
Yes. It just reminds me of fight or flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of in the, you know, in our biology, that we're either roll over and expose our underbelly and hope whatever it is doesn't rip out our innards,
mm-hmm.
or get out, you know, fight to the death. And so, yes, with all of those things, and there's also absolutely a place for, you know, I just don't agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the challenge, isn't it? Because can you say that in a calm center? Can you be the disagreement?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
right?
I almost like allow myself to just be that, you know, because there's just like a, you can't just, you know. And also I feel like from the quote today, what I've been looking at too is there's such an identity around, it's like there's the disagreement and then there's the identity around the disagreement. You know, there's a way in which I become that and have to defend it.
That's right. Well, and that's, we see it inside of ourselves, ego versus ego. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I want that cake. You can't have that cake. I want that cake. You can't have that cake. I want the cake. You can't have the cake. Now, people in the beginning are confused. You can't have the cake is center, and I want the cake is ego. No, they're both ego. They're equal ego, right? And that's what you're seeing. Those people think that way. I don't think that way. So mine obviously is centered because it's mine.
Because I'm right.
And then we realize it's just like, okay, that's ego on that side of the duality. Now I'm playing ego on this side of the duality. There is no center here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And and both sides of that ego would say, this is center. This is what you need to do from center. Okay, you need to say nothing. You need to kill them all where they sit.
Mm-hmm.
make the world a better place.
Yeah, get rid of them.
And so what we're doing is learning to be, to offer the alternative to duality.
Yeah.
Which is really hard, isn't it?
I know
your little person is still probably too little for this sort of thing, but there's a thing in parenting that you're going to run into before long, which is, I love you. I don't like what you're doing. I love you. I don't like how you're acting.
Mm-hmm.
To attempt to separate those two things that for ego are inseparable.
So I can love
these people. I don't agree with them. I will not support you. No, I don't. And if you're really coming from a place of love, you can do it exactly that way, with that kind of almost lighthearted chuckle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really helpful, because that I have been practicing that with my son, and he's pre-verbal, so it's easier than with my father, because but there's that same love there that is really motivating for me to do it, and so in a way I'm really grateful that my father has really different ideas about things than I do, because is motivating me to practice exactly what you're describing.
Yes, accept it. I think it would be a great time. We just did it at the monastery, although I wasn't able to participate, but watch the movie Gandhi again, which we'd like to do with some regularity, and that's a really good one for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the march to the salt, whatever they are, they're not mines, but
Yeah, to the ocean.
You remember that scene where the guys go up there and get clubbed, and then the women drag them off and start caring for them, and the next ones walk up there. Or you could see during the civil rights movement, people just going forward and getting beaten or killed or whatever happened and going forward, and it's the most powerful statement of, I really don't agree with you. Right.
Yeah.
I don't have to hate you. I don't have to fight you. Not in any kind of a physical way. But I am not going to. Jew Kennett from Shasta Abbey used to say this thing that I couldn't understand at that point in my practice. She said, "Don't let somebody make a mistake in Buddhism." And I thought it was the most bizarre, un-Buddhist thing at the time. But now I think I understand what she meant. That part of what we do is taking a stand in a way that assists others not to feel supported in something that is harmful for them.
Mm.
And it can only happen from love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the difference between encountering somebody with a gun and taking the gun away from them versus shooting them.
Mm-hmm.
It's high level, isn't it?
Very.
It really is. But it's our practice, right? It's what we're practicing to do easily and with skill.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, so I'm going to keep practicing.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's what we're going to do, because that's what we want, and it's really important to us, so we're not going to give up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you,
Oh, gosh, we're over time. So I'm very sorry, Ashwini. I've lost track.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We didn't want to lose the thread of that very powerful conversation. So I think we'll just say goodbye and pick it up tomorrow morning.
Okay, good. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.